Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. Elif, what is the news click and what are the results, please?
Rum's not running. Do you wish he'd had a third term? Yes, 60%. No, 39%.
All right, 2-1 saying yes, you wish he'd run again or be again in that seat, but he ain't going to be. He didn't want it anymore. Rick Pearson talks on WGN Radio Sunday mornings and, of course, writes in the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Rick.
Hey, thanks. Thank you so much for having me.
What do you think of this?
I'm surprised. I think everybody's surprised, particularly when, you know, he's been actively fundraising.
How much money does he have in this? Like $5 million.
More than 10.
Does he get what happens to that money?
He doesn't get to keep it.
So where does it go?
He can continue to have his political fund and give it to other candidates, or he can refund it back to the donors.
And usually that's what happens. People who, for whatever reason, no longer need their campaign war chest will then dole it out to like-minded candidates.
Right, correct.
So maybe if he endorses somebody, that money could go to that candidate?
It could, sure.
Has he endorsed anybody?
And I don't think he will endorse anybody.
What's up, Steve?
Well, I was just going to ask that, right, same thing.
No, he has not. I'm hearing that he will not.
Why do you think he stepped down?
I kind of look at it as, here's a guy with a great bully persona that doesn't want to fight anymore. So many clouds around him, and that even though I'm sure he believes he could win, that it's not worth the fight anymore.
Yeah, because, you know, hell, if you win, then you got to be mayor again for 4 more years.
And they're not going to be easy, no matter who is here.
Why is the next 4 years challenging?
Well, I mean, here we have more tax cuts or tax increases, property tax increases to fund infrastructure, pensions, the accumulating pension debt that we still, you know, there's been that debate over whether to sell bonds to deal with. The costs of the city are not easy, and that's the financial costs, and then you've got the social costs as well.
What are those?
Well, I mean, the issues that he faces of trying to balance a budget against the social costs, like we saw, you know, early on with the school closings, closing mental health centers, those needs, those social service needs, and also doing it, you know, in a way that hurts the most impoverished communities that we have in the city.
Talk about the impact of crime on this decision.
Well, I certainly think, you know, the fact that we have the Jason Van Dyke trial coming up is a factor. But one of the things, you know, as well as the allegations that he covered up the video through his
re-election. What do you make of that? How should I read that?
I think it's a valid question to ask. Certainly, you know, in the first term, he had issues in the African-American community, and he was able to successfully knit that community back, such a core demographic in Chicago Democratic politics. This time around, I don't know that you could do that needlework to knit that fabric back. But I also think there's a couple of things going on. We're at a time of dramatic change in urban Democratic politics, and if you look around the country and look at the leadership that's getting elected, as much as we talk about Donald Trump tearing down institutions, in many respects you have progressive Democrats also attacking those certain institutions, like the fact that Chicago is the only place that has an appointed mayoral appointed school board, and it's the CTU that's going after that, like Laquan McDonald, the issues of law enforcement, first responders, and the issues surrounding a consent decree imposed by the federal government over how police officers act. I think we're at a dramatic time, and I don't think in any way you could ever call Rahm Emanuel a progressive.
Paul Vallis was on with John about an hour ago, Rick, and it was in kind of Paul Vallis fashion. He's like, well, I've already heard of a couple of names of former aldermen who are going to maybe jump in the race. And he said, but I don't want to confirm that. So I'm wondering, do you expect others to jump in? And do you know who these two former aldermen might be?
I expect others to jump in. I mean, obviously, you know, Rick Munoz is talking about it. Carlos Ramirez Rosa, who was briefly a lieutenant governor candidate for Daniel Biss, has said that he intends to seek re-election for the council. Maya Pawar, who ran for governor briefly on the Democratic side, he had basically said he wasn't seeking re-election. I think he's a possibility. I think there's all kinds of people out there. Gary Chico is apparently looking at this, according to somebody that worked with his last campaign.
What's Valerie Jarrett doing these days?
You know, there's all that talk about Valerie Jarrett. I don't know. I don't know.
The thing is, I mean, even if you look around and go, hey, I would be a viable candidate. We called Lou Manfredini because we thought he could be good.
Sure.
I thought he called us. No, did he call?
I called Lou's wife first, and she said his second wife can be the first lady. But I am not going to be part of that gig. And I said, Mary Beth, who has a higher Q score in Chicago than Lou Manfredini? You think about that. High name recognition, very positive name recognition, Lou Manfredini.
Back when I lived in Springfield and covered the General Assembly, as a poll question involving politics and like Mayor of Springfield, they would throw in the news anchor at Channel 20 in Springfield because of that very reason, to see how it stacks up for popularity and name ID.
That's not unprecedented.
No, not at all.
Somebody would segue from the media to politics or vice versa. So who's the front runner?
I don't know that there is a front runner. And here again, because look at this kind of split we have in Chicago history. We tend to, even though as a Democratic city, it tends to be more establishment-oriented candidates. I mean, obviously, the most noteworthy exception was Harold Washington, but that was because the establishment split, and he got the rest of the vote. That's what got him there. Rahm Emanuel, as I said, a centrist. Remember, he's the one that told President Obama, as chief of staff, not to go after health care. Don't do the hard thing. Let's do some easy things here. And that there's a number of Democrats who remember that.
So what's the read on? But yeah, but that might have been good advice, too.
Well, but
I mean, first, remember that? Because wasn't that the first thing that Barack Obama tried to do?
No, that lingered for quite some time.
Yeah, it took forever. It was 13 months or something like that.
Right.
Wait. When Barack Obama became president, he didn't go after health care right away? He didn't say that was something he was going to do right away?
That was what was the game plan, but it was Emanuel that kept telling them, don't go
delay,
there.
Delay. Right.
But what we're saying, John, is it was a very long process.
I remember that.
It wasn't like they pushed it through quickly.
I just thought that history was going to remember that Barack Obama might have had a smoother sail if he had waited a little bit longer. Do health care, but maybe wait until the second term.
But you had to do it while you had a Democratic majority in Congress.
He barely got it through with the, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, so that was kind of the, but even remember when Rahm was in Congress and was kind of head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, he actually recruited more centrist candidates, right, and that created a divide as well.
So Rick, it occurs to me, Rick, though, that someone could win this race, at least get into the runoff with just a few thousand votes.
Yes.
If you're going to have 15 candidates running, it's not going to take, whoever gets through could do it without really having the support of much of the city.
I unless some big name comes out there, and I don't know who that big name would be, because I still think they'd have to have a lot of money and a lot of work. I think it's virtually automatic there's going to be a runoff. But if you ask me who's the front runner right now, I have no idea. I mean, you have candidates that are establishment. I would say Paul Vallis,
McCarthy.
Gary McCarthy, Jerry Joyce. You know, they're kind of establishment candidates. Who are the progressive candidates, and where does this city split when it comes to that?
Rick Pearson talks on WGN Radio on Sunday mornings. It is a fantastic show, and also he writes for this newspaper called the Chicago Tribune. Buy it and read it in print. You can also watch it and read it online.
We'll have plenty of coverage, trust me.
Thanks for coming down, man.
Hey, thank you.